Cool. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to the podcast. You're with me, Kevin Wright, on the Kevin Wright Show podcast. And this is part of our quarantine edition. Yeah, we're still talking about quarantine. We're coming to the end of the quarantine. In Oregon, I don't know where it is in your town, but we're coming to the end of the quarantine. They're talking about reopening the economy. So I thought today on the podcast, we would talk a little bit about what we experience in quarantine. Kind of go through a little quarantine review. First, some stats. Some of my stats on the quarantine. Okay, here's some things that I went through on the quarantine. There was one period during the quarantine. So the quarantine was like 2 to 3 months, right? You know, depending on where you were, depending on how it hit you, it was like 2 to 3 months, you know, 60 to 90 days, okay? Some stats. There was one period in there where I went 3 days without a shower. I've heard worse. I've heard some people going a whole week without a shower. Some weird shit happened to us on quarantine where we stopped living by our regular rules. We stopped living by regular hygiene rules. I had friends who skipped showers for like 5 days. You know, I don't know what they were thinking. It's disgusting. For me, I did a 3 day no shower and I hated it. During quarantine, we changed some of our habits. I do not do good without showers. I have to take a shower at night and in the morning. I sleep better with a shower and I go through the next day better with the shower. Having a hot shower in the morning to me is like, it's like getting coffee. It's like the best part of waking up. If I don't take a shower and I try to go out into the world, I am just a zombie piece of shit. I do not do well. So there was that 3 day period in there. That's not bad. I've heard worse. I did a 5 day fast. One of the stats I did during quarantine is, you know, I got so tired of just eating. Remember that period during quarantine where you're so bored, so you're just getting up and you're just eating everything and cleaning out and you're like cooking the old pasta and using your toaster more than you ever have and eating everything. I felt like a slobby bitch. So I did a 5 day fast. It felt amazing. Some stats from quarantine. I ended up losing 10 pounds overall. Part of it was just laziness, not wanting to cook, but some of it was discipline. Like I wanted to come out of quarantine, not being a fat bastard. And so I ended up losing 10 pounds. Yeah, it was pretty good. I lost money. During quarantine from not working. I didn't get unemployment. And, you know, as a small business owner, I tried to take care of my employees as much as possible and ended up spending a lot of money on working on the building and helping them out. And so I lost money and it wasn't that great. Another thing in quarantine, you know, besides the stats, besides the stuff that we dealt with at home, is coming out of quarantine is a weird feeling, right? I was talking to a good friend of mine and she was saying, we've been on this routine and this rhythm. So anytime you change routine or rhythm, it can get kind of strange. And we've been on this like forced vacation, right? You know, I know it hasn't been all, you know, a cup of tea for everybody. I know it's been tough. But it's almost been like this forced vacation, this forced solitude, this forced time of reflection. And in some ways, it's been kind of nice. Besides the financial crisis, besides the recession and the hardships that people have gone through, I see what she's saying. There is a nice part of this like social distancing. There was a nice quiet. There was also this like lack of expectation, this lack of pressure, right? From society, from authorities, from people in your life. Like you didn't have to perform. The whole world was broken and wrecked and things were scary and people were hiding from each other and the economy was broken. So you didn't have to perform as much as you had before. There was no pressure or expectations to go out and like and hit a home run, to go out and perform. But now that quarantine is ending, we're talking about like, now you got to do it again. Now you got to get back out and work and you got to get that entrepreneur spirit. Not to say that some people didn't crush it during quarantine. Some businesses thrived during quarantine and a lot of creative ideas came out of quarantine. A lot of cool things happened. Some people started businesses. Some people picked up the slack. Some people really, really used this time. When it first started, I got this sense in my mind, like this is an opportunity to catch up. This is an opportunity to catch up on things that were in your heart or that you wanted to do. And so some people did crush it, but there was this lack of pressure and this lack of expectation on us to perform. So now we're coming out of that and you gotta get back to the real world. You gotta get your career back on track. You gotta get your focus back on track. You gotta start making ends meet again. We can't rely on government bailouts. We can't rely on everyone just taking care of each other. It's kind of the economy's reopening on, there's some competition. And so I get what she's saying. So coming out of it, there's more expectation. There's more pressure to perform. It's an interesting thing. Like, did our standards drop a little bit during quarantine? You're goddamn right they did. Our hygiene standards, our expectation standards, our economy standards. You know, it's a funny thing too during quarantine is people are talking about like their crushes. You know, single people were just getting crazy, not seeing humans. And so their standards went down. I think people got their quarantine crushes and some dates going on people they normally wouldn't. You know, that kind of happened to me a little bit. So I see that. Like, I see what my friend is saying. There's a little bit of fear leaving this time that we were in. And we kind of got lulled and we got that slow, warm water that we were boiling in called the quarantine. And it became a little bit of a comfort food. And now we got to go back out there and hit it. So things are changing. The rhythm is changing. I see that. Some other things that I observed during quarantine. I tried to get out a lot. I tried to go for hikes and runs and get out and get fresh air. I couldn't be cooped up. And I tried to observe social distancing. I didn't want to fuck anything up and offend anybody, although I probably did. But I couldn't just sit in my house all day. So you know, I did some gardening. I got out. I went on hikes. Our friends and I started Adventure Thursdays. We were going on hikes and climbing waterfalls and doing some cool stuff. But while I was out, you know, there were places that were still open. You know, anywhere that had groceries was still open. The grocery stores, Target, Costco, you know, and they did a great job. My hat's off to those places. They did a great job. And I think some of the things that they were doing should last, right? Like they were sanitizing all the carts, sanitizing all the checkout areas after every customer, making sure people didn't crowd each other at checkout lines and when they're lining up in the queue. That kind of stuff should last forever, right? That kind of stuff should last forever. It'd take a little extra effort, but it would add some more jobs. And let's continue those policies. Let's keep that going. You know, it's like, remember when 9/11 hit and we first instituted a lot more security for travel? We didn't let people get away with shit. We checked their bags more. We went through scanners. We started getting those 360-degree x-ray machines. But as you watched us move further and further away from the 9/11 crisis, from the 9/11 tragedy, you saw security get less and less. You know, start off real strong, and then we kind of lost some of those travel security standards. I don't know if it's good or bad. I hope we keep some of these social distancing standards for shopping, for public places, for gathering, for sanitization. You know, like, I hope we keep some of those things. Anyway, I got out and I went to Target, and here's one of the great things I saw during quarantine. You know, you might have seen that thing too where, like, people had allergies or a sniffle or they rubbed their eyes or had an itch. And anytime somebody did that during this quarantine, people were like, that's the disease. That's the virus. That's the respiratory COVID-19. Look at, that's it right there. And if you had an allergy and you sniffled in public, people were like, fuck you, get away from me. So I saw this. I was in Target in the vitamin aisle, and there was one lady at the end of the aisle. I was in the middle, and then there was an older gentleman at the other end of the aisle. And I was kind of watching them, and they were kind of watching me. And you know, everyone's suspicious on quarantine. Everyone's like, "What's wrong? Are you a leper? Or do you carry the plague? Do you have the disease?" Everyone was really suspicious during quarantine. And I heard the old man kind of sniffling a little bit. And it didn't freak me out that much. You know, everyone had their masks and was being careful, keeping their distance. But I heard him sniffling a little bit. And I just knew in my mind, I just knew that this lady on my left is going to be one of those people who won't be able to handle it. And she didn't want to give up her place in the vitamin aisle. She wanted to, like, get her shit. And so I could see she was noticing him sniffling. And finally, he couldn't hold anymore. And he sneezed. He sneezed under his mask. And this woman, she kind of like looked up, this old man sneezed, and this woman kind of looked up and she was like, will somebody remove that man? I saw this old man sneeze in the vitamin aisle. Will somebody remove him? Almost like I heard her like making noises under her mask, like, bring in security. Take this man out. Get that guy. What the fuck is wrong with that guy? It was so, you know, it went like this. I'm here. The old man's here. She's here. And the old man just kind of, and he tries to hide a sneeze. And she's like, get him. Get that motherfucker, arrest him. Somebody please get that man. It was such a scene. And she didn't yell at him, she didn't holler, but you could totally see, like, she was looking around and she was raising her hands and she was kind of like, please people, do you see the injustice that is happening? Please people, do you see the evil that is happening? Because this poor old man had allergies, or maybe he had a respiratory problem, maybe he had the virus. That's the other thing about quarantine that's been crazy. We're finding out now a lot of people had the virus and it's connected and it passed through lots of people. And some people just didn't show symptoms. You know, some people just didn't get affected by it. Didn't give them the flu. It didn't get into the pneumonia stage. It didn't get into their lungs. But it passed around lots of people in your communities. But you never would have known because it didn't affect people. You know, it came and went. You know, some people were immune to it. It didn't get deep enough in other people, but it got passed around and carried by a lot of people that we didn't realize. So that's some of the funny shit that I saw. You know, people reacting to each other differently. Most people, I would say, on quarantine were really cool, right? Like, most people were really cool. In my town, you know, I'm up here in Bend, Oregon, and Oregon did a great job. You know, Oregon did a great job of social distancing, honoring the rules, trying to be polite. And in my town, it's like the city of gentle people. Everyone here was so cool. People were like giving you space and honoring you. There was one time I came out of the coffee shop and there was a lady on the other side of the glass door. And I kind of like opened the door. And as I'm doing it, she like backs up. And all I'm doing is coming out of the coffee shop and everyone's covered up and doing their thing. But she backs up like I'm a diseased human being. And then she kind of like looks down at her feet. She's like, we can't make eye contact. Because if you make eye contact, then you also spread the disease. It was this thinking. And so everyone was so careful and everyone gave each other so much space. And it was really good. It was a city of gentle people where I was. So that was cool to see. Another thing that happened that I got to do is all that like Zooming and all the Skyping and all getting together and having connection. A couple things that we did is we had Friday night bar night through Zoom. So usually once a week, me and the friends go out, you know, to a regular bar and get drinks and hang out and have cocktails. And you couldn't do that. So we would get together on our computers and all pour special cocktails and make drinks and talk about what we were drinking and connect. And that was really cool. That was something I looked forward to. I also did a internet style, Zoom style Dungeons and Dragons. If you've never played Dungeons and Dragons before, you gotta give it a try. If you've never tried it, you gotta try it once. You might hate it. The thing, Dungeons and Dragons is a role-playing game, right? And you get four or five, six people together. And one person is the dungeon master. And he or she has taken hours to write out a storyline and a plot line. And you're all creating characters and you're trying to walk through and speak a story to each other. And there's consequences and you roll dice to see the direction of your moves. But the Dungeons and Dragons really works best if you have animated people who get into it. Dungeons and Dragons is at its best when you have a great squad who can get into it. And so you see in your group, when you're playing Dungeons and Dragons, especially over Zoom, especially over quarantine distance, you see who can really perform and who can really do it. And the people who go all out, it makes it more fun. You know, you pretend to be, I was a cleric. I was like this little gnome creature who was a magical cleric, and he was from his village and he was out on this quest. And so I had to be, I had to get into that character. I had to get into the Dungeons and Dragons is really cool. We had an elf in our group. We had a human warrior. And our dungeon master was so awesome. He really served us and he took care of our group. And he just wrote hours and hours of story and ideas. And he created this whole mythology for us to kind of get into. So if you haven't ever tried Dungeons and Dragons, you got to try it. Let me tell you this. D&D is not just for nerds, okay? By the way, who even knows what a nerd is anymore? We all have nerd things that we do. We all nerd out on stuff. Maybe you nerd out on weightlifting. You nerd out on movies, on boats. You're a boat nerd, okay? Those are real things. Talk to the wakeboard community. They're freaks about boats. We all nerd out on different things. It's not just a nerd thing, and Dungeons and Dragons, D&D is growing to be so huge. So we tried that. We got to do D&D over Zoom. It was really cool. That was a great thing. We did bar night, you know? And most of the people that I ran into were really cool. Most of the people that I saw in quarantine were really cool. There were some people in our town, just like every time, we tried to rebel quite a bit. And I had sympathy for them. You know, there were some people who saw this more as a conspiracy. There were some people who saw this as an infringement on their rights. I get it. And especially those people who were trying to, you know, pay for food for their kids and keep their business going and not lose something that they put 20 years of hard work into. So sometimes people rebelled a little bit against it. We saw some of that, but mostly people were really cool. Mostly people were really cool in our town. And it was a good experience to see everyone come together. So it's re-entry time. It's re-entry into the economy, into society. What's it going to be like? How different are we going to be? How changed are we going to be? Now we have new memes and we have jokes and we have cultural considerations and we have a lot of material for Saturday Night Live and for comedy and for stand-up. You know, we're always going to look back and talk about the quarantine of 2020. It was this unprecedented historical thing that we had never experienced or seen before. Even in the war times, I talked to some folks who were living through World War II and Vietnam. And the lockdowns and the worry and the missile crisis and all these different things that happened in our country's history, they never had what we had during the quarantine. They never had these mandatory orders to stay home and stay away from other people and close down your business and close down your routine. This was a historic thing. And we're going to look back and say, yeah, those were the quarantine days. Those were the quarantine days. We're going to see movies, TV shows, books, online programming, video games, all about the quarantine days. You know, I joke with my daughter sometimes, like when we have grandkids and there's the younger generation, Grandpa, will you tell me about the quarantine of 2020? What were I was just doing the grandpa voice. Sorry. It's supposed to go like this. Grandpa, will you tell us about the quarantine of 2020? Oh, yes. The quarantine of 2020. We had the internet. Yeah. And Disney Plus saved our lives. And Netflix. We had Netflix in quarantine. Oh, boy. And we could get on our phones and entertain ourselves. You know, there is going to be legends and stories about the quarantine. There's going to be, you know, a whole mythos surrounding it where we create, you know, our traditions about quarantine. But we're coming out of it now. We're coming out of the quarantine and it's blown my mind. It's blown my mind. You know, it's a whole new world. I could have done better. I could have done better, I think, on working on my side projects, working on this podcast, working on my writing, working on some of the other things that I'm producing. I could have done better. I fell victim to that feeling of you don't have to perform. The world is not expecting shit from you right now. And I failed in that regard. That's the time. The time when you should step up is when the world is saying, we don't expect a thing from you. This is the time for you to relax. That's the time when I should step up. And I took the bait and I fell back too much. I didn't work as hard as I should have. I know that about myself. I carry a little guilt over that. But those are the times where you should really step up, where nobody's watching. Nobody's forcing you to do it. Your boss isn't holding you to your 9-to-5 punch clock. The time when entrepreneurial spirit, the time where invention and the time where success really rises up is when nobody's expecting it. And that's the time where you have to self-motivate. I would talk to my friends during this quarantine and we would say, like, I'm going between like depression and sadness and lethargy and feeling really lethargic. And then moments of great motivation. I'm going to start my art again. I'm going to start my writing again. I'm going to get into new hobbies. I'm going to buy a sewing machine and sew again. I'm going to alter clothing. I'm going to build masks and help out the community. I'm going to do something special. I'm going to come up with a new plan for sanitization. You know, it was this crazy flow of motivated and then depressed, motivated and then depressed. And it hit me like this. I was most motivated at night. I was most motivated at night, and it was in the morning where I'd get depressed. And you've heard me talk about this before. My routine is if I don't get out of bed very quickly in the morning, I get so depressed. If I don't get up and get out of bed, I am going to get bummed. I start thinking about the dark things. I start thinking about the pressures and the responsibilities and the failings and the shortcomings and the mistakes of the past. And I only do that in bed during the morning. I don't know why. It's the most depressing time. And so I need to like get up, get out of bed, Trinity, get up. If I can get up and get out of bed and get my day started, get that shower so I'm not a slovenly bitch. If I can get that moving, my day's a lot better. At night, I was able to fight that. I was able to find the motivation, to be active, to do a lot more, to get in a workout, to practice my diet a little bit better, to practice some creativity, to connect with friends over social media, you know, over Zoom and over the interweb. So that was my rhythm, and that was my schedule. But I'm hearing that same story from a lot of you and from a lot of people that I hung out with, that I just flowed between extreme moments of inspiration and motivation and then moments of depression and sadness. And one of the things that bummed us out the most in our friend group is just not being able to be around each other and to hug each other and hold each other, not having that human contact and that human care. We have this really special friend group here that some of our identity comes from taking care of each other, helping each other find life and good moments and connection. And we weren't able to do that as much. And we weren't able to just go get that hug that we usually get a couple times a week. We weren't able to get that touch and that connection. And that took a toll. If you were really social, you know, let's say the old introvert extrovert thing. The extrovert, and I define it like this. When I think of an extrovert, there's many different ways to talk about it. When I think of an extrovert, I define it as that person who doesn't mind solitude, but they can also get a great recharge from being around other people. They can get fed and nourished and get some spiritual electricity from being around other people. They get their recharge. That's one of the ways I define an extrovert. And so an introvert, I define not that they hate social things and not that they're afraid of it, and not that they can't get some good vibes there, but their biggest recharge always comes from a necessary amount of isolation, a necessary amount of solitude. That's the way I always define extrovert, introvert. Where do you get your biggest recharge from, or where can you find recharge? And one isn't worse than the other. I found myself becoming more of an introvert as I get older, but I still love social connection. I still get a charge from it. But I know now, in my life, I need a certain time, a certain number of things, a certain number of quiet solitude moments where I'm getting some things accomplished in order to be ready to go out into the world. You know, and that's where my introvert side has grown. I've always been able to perform in a group. I've always been able to connect and find recharge and get excited and get that energy going. But I know now I'm best when if I have an appointment in the morning, and it's a social appointment, I got to meet with people, which I do a lot. I need like an hour before that meeting to have some coffee, to get ready, to chill out, to just vibe by myself, to do some breathing. The breathing exercise, that just felt good just right there. Don't forget to breathe. Boys and girls, baby boys, don't forget to breathe. I need that buffer time, that margin. If I skip that and try to like sleep in a little bit more, it does not do good for me. I need that solitude time just to be ready to go out into the world. I need that. And so during this quarantine, extroverts and introverts experienced who they were. Now, there's another type of introvert. I describe it really positively. There's another type who could really use this quarantine to their advantage and say, see, we should all be home more anyways. We should all be home with our cats, and let's get our 18 cats and eat more food and hide away, and this is a better way for the world. See, if you get with people and you connect, there's more diseases and problems, and it's bullshit. We all need to hide away in our homes and protect our property and do our, and that was the negative side of things, but some people use that explanation to their advantage. Some people use that as like a identifier. See, this is what's better about life, and that's kind of how I am. And we had to confront during this quarantine, we had to confront internal fears, right? We had to confront our fears. Like for me, going out in public, I was never scared of getting the virus. Okay, I was never scared of contracting the virus. I knew I probably wouldn't. The percentages were that I would not. And then if I did, we would have all the right healthcare in place in our town to fight it and to deal with it, which we did. So I was never scared of getting the virus, of going out in town. I was never fearful about that. I was scared every time I went home. My fear rose, like, how am I going to handle all this free time? And that's where I got scared. How am I going to handle not having the routine, not going to work, not being with the employees, not being with the people that I'm used to, the rhythm? I was more fearful of that. But others were fearful about just going out in public. Others were fearful about seeing other humans. Others were scared to be with people, like genuinely fearful. And so one of the things that came out in this quarantine, I think, was us all dealing with different types of fears. Fears of, what if I lose my income? What if I lose my housing? What if I lose my job? And we all kind of dealt with it in our own way. Some of us use a very cognitive therapeutic method where, why am I freaking out and worrying when these big things haven't hit me yet? You know, these things that I cannot control haven't hit me yet, but I'm scared. A lot of therapists will say, confront the problem when it gets there. But if the problem is not there yet, there's no use dwelling on it, creating that fear channel right now. So we all kind of experience it in different ways. Introvert, extrovert, which one were you? Which one were you? It became crazy. It became hard to figure out. You know, and it really was like a movie. It really was like a movie. There were times where I was at my business and I was just sitting in the parking lot in a lawn chair drinking coffee and watching the ghost town. Nothing going on. No cars driving by, tumbleweeds rolling through. It was really peculiar. I would walk downtown in my downtown area where all the nightlife usually is, and nothing. Not a person around. No cars in the parking spaces. No commerce, no economy, just quiet. And it was really, really peculiar. It was like a little taste of what would happen in the apocalypse. You know, a little taste. This, we can't call this an apocalypse because most of us had food and water and the good things, but not everybody did. That's another thing. Somebody sent me right when this thing started, like, social distancing and being able to remove yourself from society is a luxury, and that's not the way it is in the rest of the world. You know, there are parts of the world where people just had to deal with the virus as it was because they couldn't get away from other humans. Cities that were packed with homeless people, cities that were packed with elbow-to-elbow families that couldn't stop vending on the street, that couldn't stop their street-side barbecue because that's their income. People who live together in squatters' villages who are so packed together that, you know, you have four families in the size of one room. And the perspective that was given to me was, just remember that your ability to social distance, your ability to fight this thing and to you know, fight the virus in your town is not the same way it looks around the world. What a great reminder. What a great reminder. In the history of the world, from the beginning of time till now, if you were in Oregon, if you were in the West Coast United States, California, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, most parts of the United States as well, but I'm talking my you know, particular context, you have it pretty good in the history of the world. We had it pretty good when the crisis hit. There was food, there was government kickbacks, there was connection. The utility companies weren't shutting down the internet. The utility companies weren't shutting down your utilities. The heat was on. When the snow came and we had cold winter nights, we had warmth. In the history of the world, us on the West Coast United States are really the kings of the universe. You know, people talk about the 1% in America and then the other, you know, divide. In the history of the world, everybody on the West Coast of the United States had it pretty good. I'm not saying there weren't poverty struggles. Of course there were. I dealt with some of those with my clients. But we have it pretty good in the history of the world. And this quarantine reminded me of that. I could have been born into a squatter's village who makes a cave inside of a dump of trash, because that's where you can find food and that's where you can find work on a daily basis. I visited communities like that. I could have been born there, but I wasn't. I was born to parents with money, parents who put food on the table, parents who exposed me to sports and hobbies and movies and expensive things. I was born into that. Us on the West Coast of the United States have it pretty good. We have it pretty good. And during this crisis, I was really grateful. And I really thought, like, in the history of the world, I'm definitely up here in like the king's level. I wanna be responsible with that. I wanna do something with that because I get it. Like I get it. I'm not rich, but I get it in the history of all human civilization. Pretty damn good. Pretty damn good. So the quarantine is coming to an end. And I wonder where our new perspectives will be. I wonder what we will think about. I wonder how we will do things differently. I wonder how we will be health-wise. I hope we keep some of these habits we got into. I wonder this thing though. You know, there was a lot of people who became activists during this quarantine. Activists for social distancing, activists for cleanliness, activists for wearing masks and gloves and sanitizing all over the place, cleaning things, which was great because those activists helped us. Those activists kept us safe and cleaner. Will we see activists rise up now in the other hardship areas of our day-to-day life? Will we see an army of people step forward and say, okay, let's fight obesity? Now that we're back to regular life, now that the economy is reopening, will that same group or another group rise up and say, okay, we did lose some people? You know, I think the death toll in the United States is between 80 and 90,000 based on this virus. Will people step up and look at the other problems that our society can create and say, I want to be an activist for the deaths caused by obesity, drunk driving, childhood and teen suicide? Are we going to see that? It was so cool to see people come together and unite and get fired up about this. Will we continue that same energy out there when there's not as much pressure on us? You know, when the government isn't telling us we need to unite. When the world leaders and celebrities aren't telling us, hey, here are the three things, four things you need to do to fight this virus. When nobody's putting the pressure on, will we step up? It's like the thing we talked about earlier. When the expectations are very low, which they will be as we re-enter society, they'll get lower. Will people step up and be activists, health activists, activists for those in crisis? Part of the thing about being an activist during this quarantine, wearing the masks and sanitizing, social distancing, staying home, part of that was to protect the most vulnerable crowd, right? You know, we all kind of knew the stats that you know, in the quarantine, there's a certain demographic that's not likely to be affected. There were some, but it's mostly going to affect this group. And we stepped up and we tried to keep everybody under these new rules and guidelines to protect the most vulnerable group. Will we do that same thing out here in the new world? As the world starts opening up again and cities start opening up, will we identify the most vulnerable group again and become activists for it? Will we find out that single parents living below the poverty line with four children and struggling with jobs are vulnerable? Will we get more activists for that? You know, senior citizens with diabetes, Alzheimer's, struggling for social connection. Will we get activists for that? I wonder if we will be inspired by the awesome things we saw during this quarantine. I wonder about it. How will the world change? How will we change? How will justice change? It's going to be very interesting. Will we be more fearful or will courage be a bigger part of our society? Lots of things to think about. It was awesome in the sense that it was awe-inspiring, this quarantine. I know it's not over for a lot of people, and I know there's going to be a second round of viruses. You know, when the winter flu season comes back, there's going to be a little resurgence. We're going to have to deal with that. But we're coming out of quarantine, and we're making plans to do that here on the West Coast. I hope you all are safe, and I want to hear your stories. We're going to do a quarantine stories series. I think it's going to be our next podcast. So people are already sending in emails, and you can email me anytime, myideahug@gmail.com. It's myideahug@gmail.com. And we will get your quarantine stories up, and we'll go through them. It'll be a fun time. I love you. Stay safe, and we'll catch you next time.